Okay, how are you doing, bud?
Good, thanks. How about yourself?
Doing well.
Great to hear. What part of the world are you in at the moment?
I'm in Tupelo, Mississippi. I can see you. Can you see me now?
I can hear you. I can't see you just yet, but you sound wonderful.
No, thank you. That's that southern accent. There
Howdy.
it is. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. Without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. We have a truly special episode in store. This guy has stories. Today's friend of the podcast is coming to us by way of Mississippi, via Nashville, via Houston, Texas. The first tour he was ever a part of was Motley Crue in 1989, and things have not slowed. He currently drives for Coach Quarters out of Nashville, Tennessee, working with the likes of Kevin Hart, Scott Stapp, Justin Bieber, just to drop a few big names into the mix. Not only that, but he's a drummer and a songwriter, with his song Two Wheels on the Highway being cut by both Del McCurry and Leftover Salmon. So without further ado, please welcome the only man I've ever met whose date led to a mishap landing them in another country, the celebrity bus driver, J.R. Robinson.
Hey, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Glad to be on here.
Yeah, I guess the first thing we got to start with, how in the world did this skydiving mishap land you in another country for a little bit?
Well, we were on a tour, and we had a show in Buffalo, New York, had a couple of days off, and I'm a skydive fanatic. So I've never jumped out of a helicopter before.
Oh, my goodness.
And I just automatically assumed it was the same as jumping out of an airplane. So the guy asked me if I ever jumped out of a helicopter, and I embellished and told him yes, dozens of times. So he said, okay, great. So you know what to expect. Well, we were flying over Niagara Falls. He showed us where the drop zone was, got ready to jump. I didn't take into account the downforce of the propellers.
Oh.
So I flipped.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple of times. By the time I got orientated, I knew that I had to react fast, so I pulled my chute. Well, during the flipping process, I lost sight of the landing zone. And as you may well know, Niagara Falls is not that wide.
Yeah.
So I can't swim, so I had to make a decision, either try to get on this side, hope that I was on the U.S. side, or land on the side that I was closest to. The side that I was closest to happened to be Canada. So I was greeted very promptly.
Yeah, I imagine.
And it actually caused problems for a couple of years, not getting into Canada, but, you know, it all worked out.
Yeah.
It was a total accident, but it's a great story to tell. You
sure.
know, looking back at it, it was funny. You know, it's a memories for a lifetime.
How does that conversation go after the fact of you're on these tours and whatnot, you're trying to cross the border? Is it like, hey, we see here on our papers that you actually parachuted over the border one time, and have to kind of rehash the whole thing all over?
Well, you know, that's been struck off of the record. But for a little while, they said, you know, what happened to what was the reason for illegal entry into the country? And which, you know, they have it all written down, and they just start laughing about it. It's no real big issue. The next question out of their mouth usually is, have you illegally entered Canada previously?
You know? Oh, my
you
goodness.
You know, it's a fun story to tell, and you know, it's definitely interesting.
For For sure. How do you end up getting back? Because obviously you mentioned you're properly greeted and you're like, hey, I'm on a tour. I've got to get back to the crew and whatnot.
And trust me, the Canadian police really didn't care that I was on a tour.
Yeah.
We talked, and the skydiving company actually came to my rescue. It took less than, you know, an hour to get everything straightened out. They said, yeah, we've had this happen a couple of times, but this does go on your record for a little while.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's always a fun story, especially when I cross in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always tell them, I actually jumped over the border here once.
I think, like, that's just something that would... So how do you get into, like, skydiving? You mentioned you're a skydiving enthusiast. How did that take off?
Well, it all started years ago. I was actually going to join the military. And I wanted to be a paratrooper. Mm. And things happened. I had a really bad accident. Kept me from going to military. And I went out one day and done a tandem jump with a friend of mine. And it just grew from there. And I've been skydiving for the past 30 years.
Wow.
So it's always a joy to jump. And, you know, it's just a really big adrenaline rush.
I can imagine. I'm like the polar out. I'm scared of heights kind of thing. I jumped off a waterfall one time when I was like 12, like almost knocked myself out. And then after that, I was like, all right, I'll stay ground level. So I have a lot of appreciation for you being able to get up that high and just jumping.
Oh, it's a blast. I mean, you can't really explain the rush you get from jumping out of a perfectly good airplane.
Yeah. So I guess if we rewind a little bit, do you mind walking me through, you know, you've got this like storied career from all these massive tours, and you mentioned beforehand that your first one ever was Motley Crue. How does that come to fruition? And I guess, what was your role in that tour?
Well, I was a police officer before I started driving a bus.
Gotcha.
The town that I live in, the owner of the bus company was a friend of mine's father.
Hmm.
And I just so happened to pull one of the buses over one night for doing stuff that he shouldn't be doing, coming through to drop his bus off. He was by himself. And I went in and talked to the driver, wrote him a ticket. Well, the next morning, the owner of the bus company called and asked me if I wrote his driver a ticket the night before. And of course, I said, yes, I did. And he asked me, said, well, do you want to still drive a bus? I'm like, I would love to drive. And so I went over there to talk to him. The driver did, and I didn't let him off of the ticket. He did have to pay the ticket. So I went over, talked to him. He took me for a test drive, and the rest is history. 33 years later, I'm still driving tour buses.
Wow. What was that experience like then going from, so I imagine you put in your notice like, hey, I'm hitting the road with,
oh, instantly.
One of the biggest bands in the world.
And, you know, back then, it was at the height of their career.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went in, I turned in my uniforms, paperwork, and I was gone 2 days later. And obviously, they put me out on a crew bus, and then I went from a crew bus to driving the Star bus. And it went on from there. I've driven for Ozzy Osbourne, Rolling Stones, one of the biggest bands in history. And a lot of people, they disagree, but at one time he was the biggest star in history, and that's Justin Bieber.
Mm. Oh, wow. You drove for Justin.
Three times. Yeah. His first tours.
Wow.
And, you know, whether people want to admit it or not, Justin Bieber was bigger than Ozzy Osbourne. He sold more CDs and, you know, hey, look, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I have Bieber fever? Absolutely not. But the paycheck.
So what does that look like then? Because you take the test drive, right? So it's like, okay, cool. Getting familiar with the bus and then going to these massive stars. I imagine you're not just having to navigate roads. You're having to navigate people swarming these buses, I'm assuming, as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's really not that big of a deal. Everything you see on television is not actually what really happens. You know, a lot of people think, oh, they're massive after parties and all this stuff going on the buses after the tour. To be honest, when I get back to the bus at night, now versus then, all these guys that are big rock stars and packing stadiums are playing PlayStation, sitting around eating their late dinner and getting ready to go to bed.
It probably takes a lot out of them too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hey, everyone, I hate to bust your bubble, but the rock star lifestyle is not what you see on television.
Right. They're like, hey, we just ran around under stadium lights for 2 hours. Yeah. we're beat.
Oh, it's always a blast. I mean, like I said, I mean, it's a fun thing to do. I've been doing it for 33 years. This year is going to be my last year tour.
Oh, right on. Congrats on, congrats on a retirement from it.
So I'm going out on tour with our friend, and that's going to be my last tour.
Oh, that's wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. So like wrapping it up, are you like, do you have like a next, or is it like, hey, I'm good, I'm tapping out, and I guess do you have something on the docket?
Well, say I'm going out, I'm going to do the tour that I'm on for Richard, and I'm finishing up with Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is one of the biggest celebrities out, and I'm wrapping it up, and this year's it.
Wow. Hey, that's, I mean, talk about going out on top, though.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've been touring with Kevin Hart for quite some time, and Scott Stapp. You know, what you see on in the media from years ago of Bob and Scott and Creed doesn't depict how he is now. He is a God-loving Christian man. When my mother passed away 2 years ago, the first one that was there was Scott Stapp. Him and his wife are absolutely great. The whole band is unbelievably good. I mean, just great people.
But that's wonderful to hear. And I guess that's something, yeah, that we don't get to like talk about a lot too. It's interesting because you're like in these families, which is something that's really cool, like as far as like these crews and whatnot. I guess what is something that folks don't really, we're kind of tapped into it a little bit, but like don't really understand about how like closely knit these crews and whatnot are?
No, it's great. I mean, typically after the show at night, as a driver, I get back to the bus, sort of straighten up in the bus, roll the shore power up where it's been plugged up, go through the bus and make sure everything's buckled down, ready to ride. We drive to the next city. Everyone's still asleep. I mean, all the logistics of it, I mean, it's all handled pre-tour. We get to the next venue. I go to the hotel, starts all over again, day in and day out. It really makes you appreciate the days off. The days off, we all sit around, we grill out. It's like a big family. You couldn't ask for a better career to get into. I mean, it is. It's one big family just traveling together. Everyone has an integral part in making the tours go smoothly. The tour manager, they set everything up. And if it's a good tour manager and things fall into place, you couldn't ask for a better career.
That's wonderful. And yeah, that is kind of interesting, right? There's so many of these like moving pieces and whatnot. And I guess I'm curious, you mentioned you've been touring with Kevin Hart for a while, who really does put on like stadium shows now. So what do you see overlap between the way that like the likes of like the Aussies, Rolling Stones operationally overlap with Kevin Hart, even though it's like comedy as opposed to like stadium tours? Is there a lot of overlap there?
It's all the same thing. There's really nothing any different. Kevin Hart, the only thing different between a comedy tour and a music tour is on the comedy tour, they don't have a band there. The artist is still doing the same thing. He's up in front of the lights for an hour at a time. As far as production, nothing's any different between any tour.
Right on. And do you find, obviously, like when routing a tour, like the logistics are super important. Do you find that you're doing a lot of the same routes for these kinds of things? I know with like target audiences.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the demographic of the tours are basically the same. You know, the same people that's going to the Rolling Stones tour are coming out to the comedy tours. The sound and stuff like that, the sound guys, which I work a lot. You'd say I'm representing Showtime Sound. I work a lot with Showtime Sound. Great people. They handle everything. Some of the biggest tours that are going on the road this year. So, yeah, it's all basically the same. You know, the crews are the same local crews that set up, tear down. Everything's, I mean, pretty much the same with any tour.
It is a pretty small world, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I mean, it's very small. One of my favorite tours to do is with Richard. Those guys are really cool, man.
Yeah.
You know, as in the email, he was talking about the barbecue place that I took him to. But we went to this this arcade that's featured for adults. It's all the old 80s games and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And we probably spent a couple of 2-3 hours in there playing all these old games. What was really cool about it, a lot of them were life-size. So you're playing Donkey Kong with a life-size Donkey Kong.
Oh, no way. Whoa. And where was this at? This was Kansas City?
Kansas City, yeah. It was in Kansas City. I mean, it was really cool.
Yeah. So there's like that spot. And like, what are the spots for you that the cities and or bars, restaurants that you're like, that when I go on tour, like, these are the spots that I got to hit?
It's all the same. You know, once you've been to a city, you sort of get to know the places that you want to go eat at, the places you want to hang out at, the hotels that you want to stay at, you know. And so I try to hit all the same stuff in every city that I go to. And it really helps to have all that stuff written down where you know, okay, I'm going back to Kansas City, so we're going to Jack Stack Barbecue. That was the place that I took Richard and all of them to.
Yeah. Oh, that is so fun. What's like the, for you on the road, what feels like the most home away from home for you?
It's going to be probably Los Angeles. Spent a lot of time in LA, a lot of great venues there. The Troubadour is absolutely one of the best ball venues you can go to. Again, another one is going to be my hometown of Houston, Texas. A lot of great places there. And when I go to either or, it feels like I'm back home.
Definitely. Entertainment hubs, too. I think what a lot of people, at least on the coast, sleep on how big of a scene it is down there in Texas, especially for like these rock acts, comedy acts, and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely. The smaller venues are really intimate for the performers and so forth. My wife has exited the vehicle.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. As you can tell, we've been shopping. The kiddie pool is not for a little kid. Look, I'm 54. There's no little kids. That's for our little puppy where he could get out there and play.
Oh, what kind of dog y'all got?
He's a mutt, but he is the most loving dog you would have. He's literally this tall and he's 6 years old. Yeah. I mean, he is my best friend.
Yeah.
So we bought a pool for him just to sort of lounge in. It's 91 degrees here today. So we bought a pool for him just to sort of lounge in.
Oh, and I'm sure he's gonna be loving that up. 91. Wow. Yeah, so I'm up here in Seattle and we've been struggling getting past like 60. It's like we're getting teased with these days of like 70 degrees, some sun's coming out, and then we're getting hit with like a bunch of gray, hoping that we got to hit like the July 4th is what I'm going for. Once we hit there, we're like smooth sailing, but I'm jealous of the 90s right now.
Oh, I love Seattle. I mean, the Showbox, God, one of my favorite venues.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Showbox. And dude, you have to go to the original Starbucks. If people watching this, look, if you get a chance to go to Seattle, go to the original Starbucks. I mean, I actually posted a picture of being there this time last year. The day last year I was at Starbucks there.
Oh, done.
Yeah, absolutely love Seattle. Underground, yeah. Seattle, one of the best places you can go.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, with that, I guess, what are your go-to spots? Like, I guess, I'll rephrase that. What has been some of your favorite shows or tours that landed in Seattle? Do you have any that stand out?
Oh, Lord.
I know you've got a ton of
Absolutely. Train, the Drops of Jupiter. I was with them. I done their very first.
Oh, you got muted there for a sec.
We went there, and I mean, it was absolutely great. Train, I mean, blew the roof off. And that was a Showbox. You know, a lot of people didn't realize Train, when they first started, small band, the first show they played when they started touring, Showbox. My brother keeps trying to call.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, Pat's a very underrated frontman, I think. Oh, I saw them because at Marymore out here, they just did like a one-off show because they live out in the area. And I was blown away. I had always like followed kind of a lot of the singles and whatnot, the Drops of Jupiter obviously being massive, and I went and saw them. I want to say it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and I was blown away at the showmanship that they've got.
Pat is a phenomenal frontman. Oh, I mean, when he does the Led Zeppelin song, Ramble On, he does it better than Zeppelin did. Hey, people, I hope he is. I'm sorry for saying that, but Pat Monahan is better than Zeppelin on that. I mean, it is really good. When him and the guy from Fuel, have you seen the video of them doing the song together?
Oh, I actually have not. I got to check that out. God,
it's great. I mean, it is great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
But the Showbox is by far one of my favorite. The Paramount, I mean, I love it there. Some of the biggest bands. I actually had Mick Jagger at the Paramount several years ago. He just popped in one day. He said, hey, I'm going to hold a show. Went to the Paramount and did a show. And wow. Packed it that day. They announced it that day, and it was packed. And, you know, and it was an acoustic set. And stuff like that really sticks out when I think about different cities that are at different cities and different venues. One of my favorite venues is in L.A., which, like I said earlier, was the Troubadour. A lot of the biggest bands in history started at the Troubadour. The Doors, Bob Dylan. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on. And that little venue that holds 400 people at tops, I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
Those are probably my two best places to go to that's on the whole tour circuit.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, with the bias towards Seattle, of course, I'm gonna eat that up.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you have the right to. That's good. Look, when I first started, I toured with Nirvana, and they used to play there a lot. And I mean, the crowd, when they would show up, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, Kirk would just blow the roof off of it, man. I mean, it was. I can talk about touring with them, and I mean, it just it really gets you to going. Great. I mean, super good people. David, still stay in contact with them. Great guy.
Oh, wow. That's awesome to hear. I mean, that's something that I think is like tapped in here very much. So it's really just what great people they all are. And that really resonates around. I mean, you've still got a lot of the guys in the scene like that really it's interesting that a lot of the stars that kind of came out of the Northwest love coming back. Like you've got the guys from Pearl Jam are still up here and really helping develop younger bands and whatnot. And they do it kind of quietly. It's not for, you know, it's just because they love the music. And one thing that's really interesting is just how they're all just great people, which I always just love to see good people win, you know. So it's very cool to hear you say that.
Oh, man. I mean, some of the greatest bands that are out that came out in the 90s, look where they came from. They came from Seattle. I mean, there's several. And I mean, that's always been a good hub for, you know, rock bands and punk bands to come out of, especially the West Coast seaboard. I mean, a lot of good bands from Seattle down to, you know, L.A. Gravitate to that area when it comes to driving local bands. When I have a choice of what band I want to go out with, it's usually the bands from that area.
Oh, right on. That's very cool. Do you get to kind of choose the tours that you're on and whatnot? Because you've got this just, that's fantastic. Because I'm just like looking at the names here and it's just incredible.
Yeah, a lot of the new drivers that are out now, they pretty much have to go with who the company puts them with. I've been in this business for so long. Right now, I only drive for three bands that are three groups of people. That's Kevin Hart, Scott Stapp, and I'll do stuff for Richard. But other than that, I pick and choose who I go out with.
Mm-hmm.
I think over the 33-year driving career, I finally got that option to be able to choose who I go out with. I tend to stay away from the country bands. I've never been a country fan.
Right.
So, you know, there's 999 other drivers that could go out and do the country stuff.
For sure.
I like the fast-paced stuff a lot more.
Definitely. From your perspective, what, you know, you're picking acts, what kind of goes into, you mentioned you like kind of the stylistically what you enjoy. What goes into the optimal tour for you?
Well, you know, when they present me with the tour, I look at the whole tour at where they're going to be playing, how long you have between each date, whether you're going to have time off in a city or not. So that's what I really look for. And if I've been on the road with them before, I look back at how well we got along. That means a lot to any driver, is the respect you have for each other. My job is to make sure that band gets plenty of rest every night and they get there before time and safely. What I expect from the band is, you know, be courteous to the driver. Your life is in my hands. So make sure I get a nice hotel, plenty of rest, yeah. And we're going to get along just fine.
Right. And that's a great point you bring up, is what's something that artists, maybe especially up and coming or even, you know, established folks that they overlook when it comes to taking care of crew or just even setting up a proper crew?
Well, a lot of different entertainers now are bringing out new crew. And the problem with new crew, they don't know bus etiquette. They know a lot of them doesn't realize, hey, look, don't get in this bus and bring sunflower seeds. That makes it harder for me to clean that bus to give you that nice environment to live in. Don't bring sunflower seeds. Don't bring bubble gum in there. Don't abuse the bus. No number twos in the bus ever. You know, that's a big deal. Make sure that, you know, you take care of the driver. Make sure, like I said earlier, make sure the driver's treated well. Show him respect. The driver do anything you ask him to do.
Definitely. And that's important, too. I guess you mentioned, like, the time in between. A lot of times folks are, especially if they're hiring someone such as yourself, they've probably got like a tour manager that's setting all of this up. Sorry, let me back up. You mentioned the importance of having like the dates or time in between dates. Of course, like, you know, if you've got, you know, 16 hours of driving and you pack those dates right next to each other, it's like, well, what are we doing here? You know, is that typically falling on the agents, the tour managers, from your experience? Like, who's got to be really on the lookout for that and making sure it maps out?
It's a lot of different factors that go into that. It's where they can get into the venue because of other acts being in there the night before or the next night. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to run all night, 2-3 days in a row. That's just the way it happens. It's neither the tour manager's fault or the promoter's fault. It's just the way the venue, they booked that venue, they could get into that day. Mm-hmm. And as a driver, you always adapt to what they need and you make it happen. It doesn't matter if they've got to drive 100 miles overnight or they got to drive 550 overnight. You just get them there as quickly and safely and comfortably as possible.
Definitely. And what's that look like for you? You mentioned you just kind of have to adapt to this sort of stuff. So have you just gotten really good at switching up your rhythm?
Oh, yeah. You have to be able to be flexible. As a driver, expect the unexpected every single night. Don't go into it thinking, oh, I'm getting to the venue to pick them up at 2 a.m. and we're rolling at 3. Don't ever think that. The artist may have meet and greet. Someone may have family there, and we don't leave until 6 in the morning. They got to be somewhere, you know, late that day or so forth. You adapt to that situation. You don't complain about it. You do your job. And I mean, it happens all the time, but that's just the way it is. You have to be able to adapt.
Right on. And so what is your go-to? Have you just gotten really good at like power naps or sleeping on demand or?
I can go to sleep. My wife, we were having this conversation earlier. I just flew in from LA, been up 16 hours. You know, I was talking to you while I was driving yesterday. And, you know, I get home, I can go to sleep within 5 minutes. I can
Oh,
be
I'm
sitting
jealous.
here. And she says, I envy you. My wife is a registered nurse. And she said, people would love to be able to go to sleep that quick. I mean, just kick back and fall asleep. And, you know, I can sleep, you know, 5 hours or 2 hours and get up and ready to go at it again. It's just, I've been trained to do that. I've trained myself on my sleep pattern and, you know, just make it happen.
Oh my goodness, I'm jealous too. I'm like a stare at the ceiling for hours kind of thing and try to figure out like when I can shut my brain down and just pass out. So if you've got tips and tricks, I am all ears, but it sounds like it's just kind of a gift.
It's just kind of a gift, absolutely.
Right on. Well, so I guess for folks that are interested in moving into this space, I guess from like the operations side, like how does one or what would your advice be to someone who wants to get in on like drive-in or participating logistics of a tour and whatnot?
My advice would be stay at home, choose another career. But if you choose, but if you do so choose to be in the entertainment industry and drive either a bus or truck, just know that you're going to be away from home. You're going to miss vacations. You're going to miss graduations. You're going to miss birthdays, baseball games, barbecues. And you really have to make up your mind and ask yourself, are you willing to give all that up?
Definitely. I think that that's some wisdom right there. And I guess conversely, if someone does choose to tap into that, what's your advice for just like finding the joy in it and sticking to it?
If they decide to go into it, make the best of it. The job is very rewarding. It's a lot of fun. You get the, it's a paid vacation 365 days a year. You're in a different city. You're in a different town every day. Go out and enjoy that city and that town. Make the most of it. Make all the memories you can, because in the end, that's all you're going to have is memories.
Definitely. Yeah, I love that. And with that, do you have a spot that you haven't had the opportunity to go to that you mentioned kind of on this last big tour here that afterwards you're like, you know what, there's a spot I've always been wanting to hit that you're looking to go to?
I've been everywhere, all over the world. And, you know, it's Kevin Hart, when we done that last tour, the Irresponsible Tour, we went from Nova Scotia all the way across to British Columbia. And that's the first time in 30 years at that time that I was ever able to just tour completely across Canada. And we hit every major city. You can look back at the dates on the Irresponsible Tour. And we hit every major city. We were out for 378 days. And we hit, I think it was six countries and every major city of the United States and Canada.
Oh my
I mean,
goodness.
it's absolutely great. As far as going somewhere that I haven't been, it's like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere.
Well, I guess then what is a spot that you're like you most want to return to then?
Sitka, Alaska.
Yeah? What
Hands down.
what's enticing you to get back there?
It's a little fishing camp. It's nestled in the mount, right at the top of the mountains. Absolutely great. Really, really good people. I think the population there is about 300. And if you want to get away and just escape your life for, you know, a few weeks or months at a time, definitely the place to go.
Right on. Well, I'm taking notes here myself to check it out. And then I guess before I let you go, I have kind of this section I typically do, which is just a rapid fire to get your preferences super quick if you're game,
Oh,
or even either
absolutely.
or. Based on our conversation, Paramount or Showbox?
Paramount.
Yeah.
Hands, no, wait. Let me change. Yeah. Hands down. You know, parking's terrible there, but the venue is absolutely great. And look at where it's at. You can't beat it. Look at the Grant. Yeah. That's, I think about Showbox, that's it, man.
Right. No, I was told that's one of my favorite spots. I'm not sure if you're familiar. ZZ Ward plays there every couple years. Oh, and she always goes to Showbox. I'm like, and there's, it's just, it's perfect. For driving routes, do you have a preference for East Coast or West Coast?
Neither or. All of them's the same. It's all interstate, all highways, all roads, all streets.
Right. Do you have a preference for European tour or U.S.-based tour?
Oh, absolutely U.S. The roads doing the European tours are awful. The roads are really small. And I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah. When I did drive up there on the Aussie tour, it was terrible. It was awful. So definitely the U.S. U.S. and Canada. You know, I call Canada America Light.
Definitely. And then I guess driving for rock show or a rock bill or comedy bill?
Probably comedy. Comedy is a lot easier. It's less hectic at the end of the night. And when Kevin comes off a stage, he's whisked off to fly back home to LA or fly to the next venue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a lot easier.
For sure.
And the comedy tours, they only do shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Rock shows, country shows, they do them all through the... Yeah, every one time.
I really appreciate your time here. I guess before I let you go, I'd love to just hear, you know, why music and what did you feel you got out of this, and then if you were to, you know, rewind to that self that was about to get asked to join the initial Motley Crue tour, what advice would you give to yourself?
You know, like they always say, hindsight is 20/20. There's not a different career I would have chose. I went from being a police officer to a rock and roll tour bus driver. And I don't think I would change anything about it.
Right on.
You go out, you make the best out of it. You live your life to the fullest. The perks are great. The lifestyle's wild. So, I mean, just go out and enjoy it. Enjoy life. Because we only have one shot. And, take every opportunity. Don't miss any.
That was beautiful. And thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it. I hope you and your wife have a great last run here on this tour that y'all are on. Yeah, wish you the best. And again, just truly appreciate your time. This is such a blast.
Oh, absolutely, buddy. Stay in touch. Hey, everyone out there, go out and live your life to the fullest. Have fun. Make memories.
Absolutely. Have a great one.
You too.
Cheers. Well, if that isn't some of the most fun y'all have had during a Made for Music episode, I think it's going to be tough to top the energy. Huge shout out to JR for taking a pit stop just to chat amid a tour here in 90 degree Mississippi. As I edit here, I do regret making comments about the 60 degree weather because we are amidst the 100 degree heat wave. I hope y'all are staying safe out there. As always, if you dig what you hear, be sure to rate and subscribe to Made for Music on your preferred podcast platform, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. Truly appreciate y'all tuning in. There is a lot more in store, some really cool guests coming up, so stay tuned, and I will see y'all next time.